Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Thank you so much, guys, for being with us today. It's a terrific Thursday. Lots of wild things happening, as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
You know, Austin, I'm doing wonderful. And, you know, it's like 95 degrees out here, but it's bright, sunny, and there's no chemtrails. And I was asking Sharon, I said, you know, it's funny. They always put the chemtrails on the pretty days, like in the fall and the spring when it's real cool outside. They always have these chemtrails. And I said to her, I said today, I said, you know, where are the chemtrails when you need them to block the sunshine? I said, it's hot. And I said, because of crap, if they're going to spray us, they might as well do it on a few days. It benefits a little bit of humanity and can, you know, put a little bit of shadow over the top of us. And of course, I am being facetious. I wish they would stop doing all of it. Oh, by the way, nothing ever changes. The Trump family, Jared, his wife, Conway, Dinah Powell, are all spotted partying with George Soros. This is unbelievable. The political climate in Washington always remains the same. It was for the deep state, that is, continually holds the power. The puppet masters, if you will, basically stay the same. Soros, dangerous left-wing figure. And this is from Breitbart. According to the Politico's playbook, which issued a correction to the piece about misidentifying a Koch brother, the cited at the party were Alan Patrickoff, a good friend and campaign contributor, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Bill and Hillary, they're also there. Oh, I'm sorry, the campaign, campaign contributor for Hillary were there. George Soros and his wife, Senator Chuck Schumer, the crying Jewish Democrat from New York, Steven Spielberg, and former governor and Bob Graham. And, of course, there also were the Kushners, Jared and Ivanka and Kellyanne Conway, all having a big time dancing and drinking and boozing it up with George Soros. Now, you know, guys, you know, I don't know what in the world my Christian friends can't see about this. I don't understand it. I mean, I tell them this guy's bad news, Ivanka's bad news, this administration's been compromised, he's not draining the swamp, he's packing the swamp. I don't know what to say about this, Austin. What do you think about him having a good old get down, hoe down with old George Soros, Austin, and not even trying to hide it, buddy? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is I knew, you know, Jared involved some pretty weird stuff. We already know that from the beginning. You know, Trump, I think himself, I think he's got pretty good intentions with a lot of stuff, but the problem is from the very beginning, Jared and his wife Ivanka, I've said the same thing as you did, as a lot of people said. They weren't voted in. We did not vote them in. Yes, I got it, their family. Yes, it's his son-in-law. I got that. But from the beginning, Jared has had entirely too much privilege and too much power in the White House setting beside Donald Trump, with zero type of credentials or any type of significant experience to have earned that position, to be that close to the Donald, which is pretty odd to me how he has that. I don't know if it has something to do with a lot of the bankers that helped Trump get out of basically the hole that he was in. I mean, and that is, I mean, he had some favors. He, you know, and they may have called in some favors. And I think Trump's done a lot of stuff really positive so far, and thank goodness we don't have to look at Hillary. But again, when you start dealing in the billions of dollars, even the hundreds of millions of dollars, you start talking about some very heavy hitters. These are big players that are walking around. And when you have people help you out of situations where you're in debt, millions and billions of dollars to that extent, you're going to owe people favors. And in my opinion, I think a lot of the stuff with Jared and Ivanka was set from the beginning, and they wanted Jared in there as kind of a plan B or C backup, because we know that Hillary was the front runner. That was the primary goal from the globalists. They already, with CNN, with everything we saw from the beginning, Hillary was getting into the White House from the beginning. They already knew it. They already planned it. It was already set. But the American population was at least smart enough this time to know this is not something that was going to go well. And I think Jared, in my opinion, was kind of that backside Trojan horse that they were going to have in their pocket to be able to keep him in the White House with Trump, to keep him dialed in a little bit closer to the big globalist bankers like Soros and the Rothschilds. That's just my opinion on it, Dad. So that's why I don't think anything's changed with Jared and them at all, because he's exactly the same way he was before.
That's right. Now, also, yesterday I talked about some of the well-known Masonic leaders and presidents in the United States. One I missed was Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was a Mason. Remember, the Masons started this country. The Masons are the guys who put Washington together in a pentagram. These are the guys at the higher levels, not the lower levels, who basically are Luciferians. They want the seething energies of Lucifer to control the planet, according to Albert Pike, one of the top guys back in the Civil War days, who was basically pardoned by Jackson, by Johnson. But what was interesting, Andrew Jackson, think about this. He was one of these guys who was a Masonic leader. He was also diametrically opposed to the formation of a central bank. Remember, the Rothschilds have their little Satan group they got going. The Masons have their little Satan group they've got going. Gosh. And these guys are the ones that are tugging for the control of the planet. So that's who these guys are. Never forget that. I personally believe that Donald Trump's a Mason. I personally believe that. Now, I can't prove that, and I haven't seen, but I have seen a lot of people talk about it, and they assume the same things. It's just that he has too big of a center of influence, because remember, the Presbyterian Church, with which he was affiliated with, especially out of Scotland, which he was affiliated with, is huge in the Masonic lodges here in the United States. So guys, that's how I believe this works together, and these guys have kind of gone together now, because remember, the Catholic Church now that's filled with Masonic leadership, and the Catholic Vatican Bank, which is filled with Masonic leadership and pedophiles, yeah, all kind of melded together into this group. Now, they're still fighting with each other, but the problem is they were trying to get control of the planet. Now, I want to read you a quote from Jefferson, by the way. Thomas Jefferson was a brilliant man, and you remember what happened to him, Austin, when he got paid back in Virginia on money that he had loaned out, and the money that he had gotten paid back with was useless, it was worthless, and he was forever against, you know, printed currency and was a big gold and silver proponent after that point. But Thomas Jefferson said, and he wrote from this from Monticello, it was a letter to H. Tompkins, and he wrote to Monticello, this is July the 12th, 1816, okay? This is like, you know, 40 years after the revolution, 40 years after independence. He said, I am not, this is a quote from Thomas Jefferson. I'm not making this up. You can look it up. I am not among those who fear the people. They and not the rich are our dependents for continued freedom, and to preserve their independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. If we run into such debts as that, we must be taxed in our meat and our drink, which is our food and beverages. It is our necessaries and our comforts, in our labors and our amusements, for our callings and our creeds, as the people of England are. Our people, like them, must come to labor 16 hours a day, give the earnings of 15 of these hours to the government for their debts and their daily expenses, and the 16th hour, the only hour they get, being sufficient to afford bread, for we must live, as they do now, on oatmeal and potatoes. That's what Jefferson said. Now, you know, so I'm trying to let you guys know, this is not okay. None of this is okay until we cut the head off these international bankers and what they're doing. And right now, they've done everything they can with the quantitative easing. The only thing they can do now is decrease the value of the dollar. They've got to continue to try to hold down the silver and gold prices until they reset them. And there's going to come a time now when these guys are going to offer to buy the gold and silver back at probably double the premium. In other words, if it's $1,500 an ounce for gold, they'll say, we're going to pay you $3,000 an ounce for gold. Go ahead and turn your gold in. And many, many people are going to bite on that hook and say, oh, wow, we get $3,000 an ounce out. We're going to make some money. Good for us. We're going to be great. And they'll turn their gold back over to these central bankers. Now, when that happens, they'll do the same thing they did in 1920, 1933, 1934, and they'll reset the value of gold. When they do that, they won't make it $3,000 an ounce. They'll make it $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 an ounce, whatever they have to monetize the debt and to basically base the currency, the new currency, on the gold standard. This is what their ultimate goal is going to be, is to take the gold back at a discounted price and then rape us again like they did when they remonetized, recalculated the value of gold when everybody turned in their gold back in 33 and 34. So guys, this is where this thing is going. So don't, just because gold or silver goes up, I had a good friend of mine one time, his name was Henry Meeks, may he rest in peace. Oh gosh, this is from 40 years ago now, almost 40 years ago. And I asked him one time about, this is like, I was still a kid, I was in my 20s. And I asked him, I said, Henry, what about gold and silver? And he says, Ted, he goes, here's what gold and silver is. It's a hedge against inflation, helps to sustain and maintain your wealth. And he goes, and what it also does, it lets you sleep well at night. And I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, if you put 10% of your core assets into gold or silver, he goes, no matter what happens with the economy, with the stock market, with the bond market, no matter what happens with real estate, whatever happens with anything, you've still sustained 10% of your core assets in gold and silver. And he goes, it's just a really good hedge. He goes, now, he says, I don't personally sell my gold. I don't sell my silver, is what he told me. He goes, I just continue to accumulate it over the years as my net worth increases. And that way, it's just something that really helps you to just sleep well at night and relax at night and not be all concerned about what's going on with your money in the market. So I thought that was some really good advice, Austin. What do you think?
I think it's fantastic advice, and exactly what you're saying with the Gold Reserve Act in 1934. That's exactly what they did. They paid everybody $20.67 per troy ounce to basically turn their gold back in. As soon as they got as much gold as they wanted, they turned around and said, now it's going to be $35 an ounce. Literally almost doubled the value of gold overnight because of the number that they put on. And at that point, all the people with it got rid of their gold, because remember, they made it illegal to hold gold, that way they could turn around and completely revalue it. That's exactly what Dav's talking about, that they're going to try and do next in a more than likely situation. So it's very important. That's why I always say gold and silver. I'm a huge proponent of silver because it's usually a lot easier to acquire. I mean, what, yesterday, I think when I looked it up, or today, it was running like $15.90, right around $16 an ounce. That's cheap. That's dirt cheap. I mean, it costs these guys, by the time they actually get it out of the ground and have ore that they can process, it's like $14-15 an ounce for them. So the paper value of silver is massively undervalued, in my opinion. Also, too, take into account that almost every single appliance or electronic application takes some amount of silver, whether it's your TV, whether it's your cell phone, whether it's your microwave. All these machines, all these electronics take in, some of them, large amounts of silver, like in the 80-inch flat screens they use. Now, they actually use a large amount of silver in those. Gold is usually rarely used in these applications because of how costly it is. Gold is usually stored and hoarded. But that being said, if gold goes up, silver is going to go up with it. But right now, silver is an incredibly good value because of how cheap it is and because it's an industrial metal. It always has a significant demand. Regardless of what's going on in the economy, silver always has a demand and it is used up. Gold, in my opinion, is stored a lot. However, there are some people that have theories that they've used gold and other types of teleporting usage and stuff like that, as far as interdimensional traveling. Dad and I have talked about that. I don't know. I've never seen that before, but I do know 100% that silver is used on a daily basis throughout the world for electronics all over the place. So in my opinion, if you're looking to put some money in this, buy some silver, keep it in a safe place. If you have the cash for gold, you can buy some of that too, but silver you can buy in usually smaller increments and stock it up over the years. And like that said, you have some core assets that are sitting around that you don't really touch, and it's wealth preservation is really what it is, Dad. You nailed that on the head.
Well, by the way, he's talking about interdimensional transfer of in energy fields and spaceship and all that kind of stuff and wormhole, et cetera, et cetera. We've got a friend of ours who's a physicist, and we talked about that one night, and that he felt that gold could be one of the elements that was so precious to these fallen angels and to these entities that basically it's being used in their spaceships and in their personal in the quantum mechanics associated with their technology. But it gets used up, so they have to continually replace it, because we don't know how much money the Rothschilds really have in gold or where the gold is even stored right now. Who knows? It could be off-world by this point. Oh, by the way, a type of drug used by 50 million Americans has been linked to an increased risk of death, and we talked about this years ago. This is from Reuters. I mean, this is like a top new Rothschild band. I guess they have to tell you what they're doing to you. Widely used heartburn drugs are associated with increased risks of death, and the longer a person uses the drugs, the greater the risk of death. Proton pump inhibitors have been tied to a wide range of side effects, including fractures, dementia, heart disease, pneumonia, and kidney disease. This is a new study that just came out. What it says, about 50 million people, 50 million guys in the U.S. are on proton pump inhibitors, and there's strong evidence these drugs are overused. Popular drugs in this class include Prilosec and Nexium and Prevacid. And they looked at millions of bits of data on millions of U.S. military veterans to determine if the PPIs was associated with increased risk of dying during a six-year follow-up. And their analysis included nearly 350,000 proton pump inhibitor users, and they found that there was a much higher rate of death. They were 25% more likely to die during a follow-up than the people who did not use these drugs. That's a huge statistic, guys. They're letting you know. They have to let you know. It's one of their little lesser magics they get to do, and their little witchcraft stuff they're involved in. This stuff is killing you. Now they just told you it was. Reuters released it, which is controlled by the Rothschild Banking Control, which controls the media and controls the pharmaceutical corporations. So now they've let everybody know, you take these things, massive increase in death. Unbelievable, Austin. We warned them years ago about this. What do you think about this article?
Yeah, I mean, this is what the pharmaceutical industry does. I mean, that's what it is. It's the pharmaceutical industrial complex. I refer to a lot of things as when we see this. It's designed to increase profits. It's designed to make sure the shareholders have enough profits. This is what it does. This is what they are about. It has nothing to do with saving the population, with healing the population, with curing the population. It's all about producing as much revenue as physically possible and getting as many people hooked on these drugs. And a lot of times, in my opinion, these drugs, they know there's long-term side effects, and a lot of the side effects are usually to the point where they have to take other drugs to combat these side effects, so they intentionally allow this stuff to get released, knowing that long-term, this one drug is going to turn into having to take 5, 6, 7, 8 other pharmaceuticals to combat the side effects that the first one is causing. I've seen that happen so many times here in the office. People call us up, email us, they have some type of issue going on, they go to the doctor, they start on a drug, before long they're going through this medical tornado and they come out the other side and they're on a dozen medications. They have no idea why they feel so bad, they're in a stupor all the time, and their health is degrading faster than they can physically imagine, and it happens all the time. I don't think that is coincidental. I think that is planned. They use that, the pharmaceuticals use that to bring in more and more revenue. Remember, if people stay healthy, guys, if people take supplements and they take multiple like we have, and they take vitamin D and they take their cod liver oil, and their joints are good and their organs are good and their mental acuity is good and their blood pressure is good and their cholesterol is good, and they stay really healthy and they eat clean and they exercise, the pharmaceutical industries don't make any money off that. You have to understand that. The only thing the pharmaceuticals know how to do is make money off sickness. So the only real aspect of what they care to do is create more sickness and more death. And, of course, when you see stuff like this, Dad, it just completely shows everybody that we're very, very accurate about that.
Well, another one, chemotherapy may spread cancer and trigger more aggressive tumors, warn scientists now. I've been telling that to people for years. This is by Napton, he's a science editor. It says, chemotherapy could allow cancer to spread and trigger more tumors, the new study suggests. Researchers in the U.S. studied the impact of drugs on patients with breast cancer and found that medication increases the chance of cancer cells migrating to other parts of the body where they're almost always lethal. Around 55,000 women were diagnosed with breast cancer in Britain every year, and 11,000 died from this illness. Guys, that's like a 25% rate. That's insane. Many are given chemotherapy before, actually about 20%. Many are given chemotherapy before surgery, but the new research suggests that although it shrinks the tumors in the short term, it triggers the spread of cancers throughout the body. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. This is Dr. George Karagiannis of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine at Yeshiva University, New York. And he said that these patients basically have a much higher rate of death from the chemotherapy, from other types of cancer, and from having the cancer spread from the chemotherapy. Now, guys, let me share something with you on this. I had a friend of mine, his name was Howard, may he rest in peace. And back in the 90s, he was diagnosed, he was about 70 years old, he was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. And they went in, and they basically did the radiation, et cetera, et cetera. And then they ended up going in and doing a biopsy on a place in his lung. And then they found that that was cancerous, and they started him on the chemotherapy, lost his hair, and this stuff spread through his entire body. I mean, through his entire body. He went back in for another either a CAT scan or an MRI, and he was completely covered up in cancer tumors, and he died on a morphine drip a few months later, guys. He was a good friend of mine. In fact, he was like my surrogate dad when my parents got divorced. So this really hit me hard back in the 90s because I really liked this guy. And, you know, the sad part about all of this stuff is when you start taking these drugs that decrease the efficiency of the immune system like chemotherapy does, it's poison is what it is. And the radiation burns you, the chemotherapy poisons you, and a lot of times the surgery will butcher you. So they have all of these horrible side effects from these treatment protocols they use for cancer, and they're going to look back, you know, 100 years from now, if we ever get the truth, because we already know this as scientists today, that this is like this is barbarism, what we do with cancer patients in the United States. It's barbarism. It's complete barbarism. But they're going to look back and we're told the truth, and they're going to write journals about how horrible cancer treatment was in the United States. But Austin nailed it. Cancer is not something they want to cure. Cancer is an industry. It's an industry that's worth hundreds of billions of dollars a year that employs hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people in different positions. So they don't want to cure cancer. They don't want to release cures for cancer. Heck, they want to reduce the population of the planet. to them, cancer is a good thing. Austin, what do you think?
That's exactly right, man. That's why I tell people one of the most important things you can do, if anything, you know, if you're on a budget, if you're trying to get stuff, you know, at a decent price and you're trying to maintain bills and all that, I got that. And one of the best things you can do is vitamin D3. We've seen that so many times that vitamin D on a regular basis is one of the most important vitamins to take to really keep the immune system strong. Vitamin C is also another good one on the second end. A recent study from Alberta University in Canada revealed that 91% of office workers are not getting enough vitamin D, with 75% of them having a deficiency when they tested them. Indoor workers like IT and secretaries spend 8 hours or more inside each day. They said, on other hand, less than half the people who work outdoors have vitamin D deficiencies. The thing about this is, I talked about this article about 2 weeks ago when I was on the show by myself, on they started doing studies on how much vitamin D was needed for, you know, average-sized people in different weight categories to get your D3 up in basically the 50 to 60 realm, which is, you know, in my opinion, the lowest it really needs to go. They say they recommend 40 is where it needs to be. I think it needs to be 50, 60, 70 realm. Deficiency is somewhere around 20. And they were saying that individuals that were slightly overweight, which would probably fall in the category of the average American, were taking roughly 6 to 8,000 IUs of D3 every single day for over 6 months, and it got their D3 levels into the 50s. That's why a lot of people, when they ask us, they're like, well, you have the 10,000 D3 with K2. I don't want to take that much. Guys, you have to understand, the D3 in almost all cases now, and most people, are extremely deficient in that, and not to mention, most people aren't out in the sun all the time, as this article just said. Now, if you work as a lifeguard at the beach and you're 18 years old, you probably don't need to take 10,000 IUs of D3 every day. You could probably take one a week and you'd be fine, but the average person doesn't spend 12 hours a day out in the sun. So that's why it's so important to supplement extra D3. And if you're really concerned about that high of a dosage or a smaller person, you run a 10,000 IU D3 once every other day or once every third day. Day, and it really, really helps keep the D3 levels high in the body.
Basically. Okay, I lost you there for a second, Austin.
Did you? I hear you.
I'm sorry. I started talking. I'm like, well, if you're gone now, I might as well go ahead and keep going with this thing and see what's going on. What's your next story, buddy?
Yeah, well, this one, I just wanted to address this because I wasn't sure exactly what's going on with it. Representative Steve Scalise, they said it was readmitted to intensive care unit. The doctor where Steve Scalise is held has been recovering from a gunshot wound, and they downgraded his condition from fair to serious on Wednesday after he contracted an infection. Representative Scalise, this is the individual that was shot by pretty much the black op guy that came in with the AK-47 on the baseball field. Scalise was really working hard to break up the pedophile ring. He was also one of the ones in charge that was really trying to head the SHARE Act, which was for the hunters, and also included the Hearing Protection Act, which is included in that, which, by the way, I did some research on that this week. It is still canceled until further notice. They still have not even set a date or even considering a date to readdress that hearing, which I find that very ironic, because I called that out the day that it happened, that it was supposed to happen that day. They were supposed to vote on that bill, which was going to give us a significant amount of gun rights, hunting rights, and completely remove suppressors from the NFA list and not allow us to have to get permission from ATF to have a muffler for our firearm and pay a tax stamp. And the day they were supposed to vote on that and meet on it, the shooting happened, and they've still yet to bring another date that they're going to talk about it. And now Scalise is in basically urgent care again because of an infection. So we need to be praying for him that he will basically recover 100% and come back out of that strong, because he was definitely leading the way with those guys up there as far as really trying to hold on to constitutional rights and expose the whole pedophile ring that those guys are involved up there.
Well, you know, also some of these infections that you get in these hospitals and these facilities are horrible. They're basically life-threatening. We have people dying every year from that. And I don't want to say this from a fact standpoint, but I will say this from a observational standpoint. It sure seems convenient he got this infection. He's back in intensive care.
I know.
Sure seems convenient. Sure seems convenient. That's all I got to say about that. By the way, the world's religious leaders are all meeting now, and they're issuing an urgent message to humanity that we need to basically tie our religions together and be nice to each other. Here's the thing about this. I mean, I will say this, okay? Now, I don't know if this is part of the ecumenical movement trying to bring in a one-world religion. I don't know what this is, okay? But here's what I will say it is. You know, we all have differing beliefs in our different religions. Christians are not Buddhists, they're not Hindus, they're not Jews, they're not Catholics. Well, Christians can be Catholics. I can't say that's not true, because that can be true. And Catholics can be Christians, I will say that. But the whole thing is this, guys. You know, some of these beliefs that we have are diametrically opposed to these other beliefs. Now, what I say by saying that is this. We need to be cordial with one another. But these are different cultures. Okay, and we can't take these cultures and try to meld them together and not think we're going to have conflict. I mean, if we have a friend of ours that we know, I mean, we're not like social friends, but we know him from the restaurant, who has a place over there in Lake Alfred that we basically go to a couple times a year. It's a little tea room that Sharon likes to go to. And I'm always real nice to him, real friendly to him, and we just talk about different things. And he used to be a captain on a ship. And a nice guy, he's a Muslim. But I treat him with respect. I don't treat him badly. You know, the same thing. We have to be cordial to one another as Christians. That's what the Bible says. You know, we're to love one another. Does that mean we're supposed to, you know, tolerate each other and let them do things they shouldn't do to our wives or our family? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is this. We have to show them that we're different than the world. We have to show them that we're willing to associate with them as far as from a casual standpoint. Now, if you got a bunch of best friends that are all a bunch of Muslims, or a bunch of friends that are all a bunch of heathen, or a bunch of friends that basically want to get drunk and want to do weird things, you gotta kind of disassociate yourself from that, because the Bible is very clear. It says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. Guys, we're set apart. You know, we're different because we've been connected to God through the Holy Spirit to His place in the universe, into His dimension, his level of dimension. And so we have to understand who we are and what we are in Christ. And what we have to constantly do is to witness to these people, let them see the love of Christ through us, and why our religion is so different than their religion. Now, if they can't tell that we're any different than a heathen running around, that's not going to help. So in other words, if you see a Muslim that's trying to be nice to you, you start cussing at him, chances are he's not going to convert to Christianity. It's just not going to work. Okay? So we have to be tolerant of one another. I got that. But guys, we don't need an ecumenical one-world religious movement like they're trying to do with Facebook and Zuckerberg and all the rest of these guys now. This is what the Antichrist wants. This is what we cannot allow to have happen, Wilson. What do you think?
Absolutely right. That is one of the biggest goals that Satan wants, is to completely dilute and rid the world of Christianity. I mean, that, in my opinion, is one of his number one goals. And if he can bring in these leaders to come in and tell us we need to have this one world religion, and we need to just basically mold and mesh, you know, Muslims in with the Jews, with the Christians, with the Buddhists, and just all get along, that's not going to work out well for me. And they know that. They know that that's not what we're supposed to be doing, but they're doing it from a satanic standpoint. The Muslim, a lot of the Muslim aspects of it are very, very satanic in their base. They're just very weird. I had a friend of ours, a customer of ours that I talked to the other day, that was actually going back to Sweden. She's got family there. She's going back to Stockholm. She basically lives in the United States most of the time and goes back over there. And I sent her an email because she said she was going back over there. And I said, how is everybody holding up with the massive Muslim invasion y'all have had? So I asked her, and she goes, nah, we really don't like it at all. It's horrible. And I said, yeah, I've heard that. I said, I keep hearing Stockholm and a lot of the big cities are getting hit hard and being invaded every single month. I said, I'm really sorry this happened to your beautiful country. And she goes, yep, pretty much. Some of them are fine occasionally and try to adapt, but majority of them are just using Sweden's generosity and love to rape women. Yes, I am very sorry, too, it's happening. I said, yes, the raping stuff I keep hearing about is what makes me extremely livid. I wish you guys could carry pistols in your purses like the girls do in Florida. If a couple of these guys get shot trying to rape you guys over there, they would think twice about it again. And she said, yes, it would be so nice if my family could carry firearms over here. It would stop that immediately. That's from somebody from Sweden that's lived there, that's legally migrated to the United States, that absolutely hates what's going on in their country. That's what is going on with the Muslim religion. That's what a large percentage of Muslims like to do. They like to go into countries, push their rhetoric on everybody. If they don't believe it, they fight them, knife them, rape them, stab them, do whatever they have to do to try and force their will upon them, and then breed as fast as they can to take over and become a majority of the population in the country. It's happening all over the place. Now in France, which Dad was just talking about in France with a prime minister who basically wants to rule with an iron fist, France has announced now, yesterday, that it intends to make 11 vaccines fully mandatory for children in the face of record low confidence in the population that vaccines can be trusted. The parliamentary address on Tuesday, France's prime minister declared the government's plan to implement the mandatory requirements, adding 8 vaccines to the already 4 mandatory that are already on there, that have included the vaccines for polio, tetanus, and diphtheria, 3. The French anti-vaccine advocates have accused laboratories of putting profitability ahead of health and children, particularly of concerns for the alleged dangers of using adjuvants like aluminum in the jabs. They did a survey back in France in October indicating that 69% of the people said they had confidence in vaccines, leaving over 30% saying they did not like it. And what's going on here is they're saying, Professor Alan Fisher said, unfortunately, there is no other solution to combat the upsurge in childhood diseases like tetanus and diphtheria. It's a short-term evil for a long-term good. No. What's going on with this is they're allowing tens of thousands of Muslims to come into the country from Northern Africa without checking them, without vetting them, without screening them, and they're literally allowing them to explode on the population in France. Same thing in Italy, and now they're seeing all these third world diseases pop up all over the place. So now they're using that as an excuse to start forcibly vaccinating children. In France, from what I've read, they don't have any exemptions over there. When they say mandatory vaccine, that means mandatory vaccine, or else they come in and they strip your child from you and take your parental rights away and say, you're not deemed, we don't deem you fit to be a parent. We're taking your child from you because they have mandatory vaccines that you have not given them yet. That's what they're doing over there in France right now, all under the guise of the protection for the greater good because we have an issue. If you don't let in hundreds of thousands of people that are carrying these diseases to explode on the population like an atomic bomb, you don't have these problems anymore. Majority of these diseases have already been fully eradicated in Europe without vaccines because of sanitary and hygiene rules that people follow now. They don't follow those same rules in the Middle East and in North Africa. Remember, there's the same issue they were talking about in Germany back 2015, that people, these guys were literally coming in and defecating on the streets, taking squatting, taking a big old dump right on the sidewalk, and then pulling their pants up and walking off like nothing was a big deal, just dumping on the sidewalk, and that was okay behavior because that's what they do in the sandbox, but that's not what they do in European culture anymore, hence why they don't have a lot of these diseases anymore, Dad.
Wow, that's just, you know, that's quite a vivid picture you painted.
just
to the point. By the way, this is an article by Wexler, and it says that should all homeschooled children be required to report to child protection services to check for abuse from their homeschool parents? This is Maurice Cohen. She's a Jewish columnist from the Chronicle, and she is calling for the requiring that every parent who homeschools a child bring that child before a mandated reporter of child abuse for a periodic inspection. I don't even know what to say about this. The most loving parents I've ever seen are those that are willing to spend incredible amounts of time with their children to homeschool them, to educate them, to tutor them. My hat goes off to my wife, who homeschooled you, our other 3 children. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, it takes so much time and so much love and so much compassion to homeschool a child, but this Cohen lady wants to now make these people basically criminals and force them to report to Child Protective Services so they can be inspected. Now, it has nothing to do with Child Protective Services. They need to go ahead and continue to feed their child abduction services, what this is. This is a mess, guys. And when people write stuff like this, it just shows me how incredibly diametrically opposed we are in our values and what we believe is right and what we believe is wrong here in the United States. By the way, a Georgia couple has been busted for beating a restaurant owner over cold chicken and a lack of French fries. 2 weeks after, I wouldn't normally report on this, but this just kind of gives you the mindset of these people. 2 weeks after a Georgia restaurant owner and her teenage daughter were beaten by an unhappy couple about their chicken order, the alleged assailants today turned themselves into the police. Nathaniel Smith and Latasha Smith surrendered to face felony charges in connection with the June 22nd incident at the Quick Chick takeout in Baxley, a city about 90 miles west of Savannah. The Smiths were the target of a law enforcement dragnet that included police and federal marshals. According to the investigator, the Smiths complained to the eatery ownery that the chicken was cold and they didn't receive enough french fries, so they gave their money back, no problem. Well, then they decided to beat up the restaurant owners. Now, guys, this to me is just telling us what's happening to our culture and where this culture is going from this group of people now that believe that everybody owes them something. See, Lyndon Johnson, with his Great Society program, enslaved low-income whites and low-income blacks into poverty back in the 60s by giving them free government handouts and allowing them to continue to produce children and receive government subsidies and not to work. Till it got to a point now where these children and these parents, they can get so much money from the government, it's literally not worth working because everything's free. The problem with that is when everything's free, they have to continue to raise taxes. Now, it seems odd to me that they were having all of these budget cuts in all of these different areas in Washington, but we don't cut back on these illegal immigrants who are receiving all of these subsidies from our government to be here. None of this makes any sense to me. Maybe I should ask some other questions. I don't know. I've got a couple more questions left for you in the next break, Austin. But the thing is this. Why in the world do people think when they get their money back for a chicken dinner that they have the right to go beat up the owner and their daughter even after they got their money back? I don't know what to say about this, Austin. What do you think?
No, it's becoming much more prevalent, man. I've seen it more and more just over little things, petty things, to the point where this younger generation is so entitled, and a lot of it's because exactly what you just said, because the government's literally put a big trampoline under everybody now, saying, it's okay, if you have this problem, we'll do this, if you have that problem, we'll do this, and I'm going to say this right now, and this drives me up the wall, but the fact that you can actually get full disability from the federal government for being obese, that drives me up the wall, guys. It really does. The fact that you're going to sit there and say, I'm really overweight, I eat 15 to 20,000 calories a day and can't control my eating, I have a plethora of health problems, so I'm going to go on disability and get paid by the government every single month to live and continue to eat because I don't want to control my food intake, nor do I want to exercise, nor do I want to work. That is an incredibly lazy mindset to me, and I have no idea how that ever got passed and I'd be allowed to have happen. But that's the model. That's the idea of the generation that we have now. You can literally go on some type of disability, government welfare, government subsidy for almost any single thing you want now. All you have to do is go in, fill out the paperwork, and you can do it. And what we've got now is multiple generations of individuals all across the board, all across different ethnicities, all across different age groups, but a lot of it's younger generation now. They've seen generation after generation that don't have to work. They can literally milk the system. And as Dad said, you start receiving so much supplemental income, you have no incentive to work. You have free food, essentially, free housing, free cell phones, free health care, free coverage on almost anything you need. And you go, why am I going to work? I'll let everybody else work and pay taxes and support me. That's a horrible place to be, and that has created this incredibly lazy mindset of kids now and a generation that's very, very, very entitled to everything. As soon as they want it now. They don't even want to have to ask a second time again for it. They expect it to be handed to them to the point now where they're not happy with a chicken dinner, they get their money back, and they still feel like they have the right to go beat up on somebody because they're entitled to do so. That is completely egregious to me, Dad. But as you just said, that's why you reported on it, this is the generation that's coming about right now with pretty much what we've built over the last 20 to 30 years. So now we're getting to reap what we basically sowed and allowed the federal government to do.
Well, yeah, in the last 60 years since Johnson and Kennedy. Well, Kennedy,
yeah.
This is the fruit of the true Teddy Kennedy, bleeding heart liberals. That's who this is. These are the guys that are communists is what they are. They want you to share everything you've worked for with them because they don't want to work, so therefore they should get a piece of what you have. It's like that lady that I told you guys about on the airplane years ago who had rheumatoid arthritis, and I told her how to get rid of the arthritis. She said she didn't want to because she's on full disability. And then she said that people like myself should be taxed at 90%. And everybody who works should be taxed at 90%, so we could take the money from us, the government could, and give it to her because she doesn't want to work. Because that's what people like us do. We work. I mean, I don't want to talk about that because I'll start getting angry about it. But anyhow, let me ask you a couple of quick questions. Here's some of the problems with socialism and communism in the United States. America is capitalist. They say we're greedy, yet half the population is subsidized. Half the population is subsidized, yet they think they are victims. They think they're victims, yet their representatives run the government. The representatives run the government, yet the poor keep getting poor. The poor keep getting poor, yet they have things that people in other countries only dream of. They have things that people in other countries only dream about, yet they want America to be more like their other countries that they came from. And, I mean, this is crazy to me. I mean, we are advised not to judge all Muslims by the actions of a few lunatics, but we are encouraged to judge all gun owners by the actions of a few lunatics. It seems that we constantly hear about how Social Security is going to run out of money, but we never hear about how welfare or food stamps is running out of money, and that the Social Security is paid in by the people that actually earn an income. What's interesting is the first group, these people who are working for Social Security, work for their money, but the second group didn't. And finally, you know, we cut the benefits to our veterans, right? This is crazy. But we're not stopping the payments or benefits.
Did we lose you, bud?
Are you hearing me okay? Am I still here?
No, what's going on our connection today, guys. Sorry about this as far as back and forth. Not really sure what's going on. Am I still live, Todd, or did Dad get chopped out?
I can hear you, Austin. I don't know if I'm here or not. Gotta love this. Can you hear me, Austin? Okay. I must have gotten lost. Okay, I'm just going to continue talking as if I'm on because I'm seeing 45 minutes and 31 seconds and I'm still alive and hooked up to Scott. And then we're wondering about when we cut our benefits to our veterans and basically we don't cut the payments to the illegal aliens. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that's going on and how this is happening on an ongoing basis right now in the United States. And we have to realize this socialism stuff is not going to work. It has never worked and it will never work. Now, another article I want to bring up today. There's now a new radical brain mesh that's being developed, and it's saying that what's happening is they're actually going to be able to have a connection directly into our neural net through this brain mesh they're putting together. Now, this goes right back to the AI that we've talked about so many times, and it says the radical brain mesh that could make the matrix a reality and stop brain aging. Harvard researchers have developed an injectable brain mesh. It can record electrical signals, changes in the brain down to a single brain cell. The mesh probe was tested in mice and resulted in minimal immune response. The mesh could lead to a brain-machine interface, cyborg animals and or humans overcoming the age of cognitive-related diseases such as Alzheimer's disease, which, by the way, we've mentioned many times, is a direct link to the aluminum in our environment and from the chemtrails. And that's why one of the reasons we developed the magnesium brain food, because it helps to chelate that stuff back out of your system. Brain implants are a popular feature of science fiction movies, but now researchers may be closer to making them a reality. Researchers at Harvard University developed an injectable brain mesh that can directly record the changes and electrical signals in the brain down to the level of a single brain cell. Now, guys, I'm going to stop reading this article right now because I'm telling you, this is the technology they have right now that they're releasing to us and telling us they have. Their technology is way beyond this. Their technology at this point in time allows them to use these smart dust, these little probes they put into the chemtrail and have sprayed on us for the last 20 years to actually incorporate itself into our central nervous system to allow them to track us. These are tracking dust, smart dust is what this is. And so this is something we need to understand, that if we don't have the ability to realize this is going on, it's not going to be able something we can basically deal with as far as figuring out what to do. Now, here's another interesting article. Okay, you back with me, Austin?
Yeah, I'm back here. I don't know what was going on. Everything went dead on my end. I couldn't hear anything, but apparently y'all could still hear me.
Well, I don't know. Did Todd call you back, or are we just pretending like we're both on?
No, Todd relocated me back on here, so I'm good to go now.
Okay, here's another article. German audience laughs after Trump's cabinet members' addresses cut off. This is funny. People understand this with Germans. Germans are real funny. If they tell you, they did this to me on the seminar circuit. So it worked real well for me. It didn't bother me. I'd get up on the seminar circuit and they'd say, you have an hour to speak. So I'd follow President Bush or follow Colin Powell, or I would follow Larry King or one of these other people, and I'd have X amount of time to speak. And they would put a countdown clock at the front of the stage, and that would count down to zero. And when it hit zero, they told me, if you want to be invited back to speak again, when that thing hits zero, you're done. Now, I remember I forgot the guy's name. He was the Miami Heat coach for years and years and years. He did a seminar. He spoke one time with us down there in Miami. Pat Riley, I think, but I'm not sure. I'll look it up in a second. And he ended up running over almost an entire hour. So instead of the seminar, and everybody else started running over because Tony Robbins at that point was actually doing the emceeing for the seminars for that day, and he wasn't going in and basically keeping a tight rein on the time. The doggone seminar didn't get out until 11 o'clock that night. I ended up not speaking for almost 2.5 hours from when I was scheduled to speak. Now, in Germany, they didn't do this. This cabinet minister, Wilbur Ross, decided to get in and start talking about what was going on in the United States, and he went over his time limit, and then finally they cut his doggone feed off, took him off the stage, and the entire audience erupted into a hysterical laughter because they're not going to tolerate that. See, when you're speaking at a seminar, Austin, and I've done so many of them, or on a radio or TV talk show, if you have X amount of time to do what you need to do, they're giving you that time, you've got to get it done and making sure it's done right. You don't run over and go into somebody else's time. So I got a kick out of this, that the German audience erupted into laughter about this guy because he decided he's going to just ramble on and not say much for an extended period of time. Oz, what do you think?
Yeah, well, the thing about it is it's annoying when you do that with anything. I've been in university, you know, college classes, and you have kids that do that. Finally, the professor has to come in and basically cut them off because they're just rambling and they love to hear themselves speak. When you're doing any type of, you know, public speaking in any aspect, one of the biggest things of showing respect to the audience and to anybody around you, your fellow speakers, is keeping a track on the time. Because when you start going over minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, then the next person's already over 20 minutes when they start, as far as where it's kicking off from. So then if they go over 4, 5, 10, 20 minutes, by the time it gets to the last couple of people, it's already super late. As you were just saying with that show, that seminar didn't get out till 11 o'clock at night. Very, very rude and disrespectful to the audience and to everybody else speaking. Also, too, another dude in Florida.
Hang on one thing. I mentioned Tony Robbins' name. I am not endorsing Tony Robbins. I know him personally. Now, the only reason I'm issuing that disclaimer is because I don't want you guys to think that I'm a Tony Robbins fan. What's your next story, Oz?
Yes, absolutely. Anyways, in Florida, Common Core, as you guys know, this is something that hasn't gotten brought up a lot, but it's having significant impacts all over the country on the level of education that children are basically receiving. The ridiculous set of education standards has basically left many students and parents baffled, and is believed to be a key reason why so many American kids are now lacking in academic performance over the last 5 to 6 years. A Florida school, though, has found that they're much better off not following the Common Core whatsoever. Mason Classical Academy, which is a charter school in Naples, Florida, prides itself on providing a classical education, which believes brings about superior educational results, and is leading the county and the state in English language arts. It's proof they're on the right track. They've completely rejected the approach of Common Core. They said they used the classic approach of phonics, like same thing I did. And they said an impressive 90% of the third grade students in the Mason Classical Academy were proficient in English language arts, compared to just 58% in the county overall who rely on Common Core. The MCA third graders were in the Florida's top 2% of every subject, while fifth graders from the academy ranked in the state's top 1% in every category in fifth grade. These students look even better when compared to California, where the state average is just 43% English proficient among third graders. Even worse, six public schools, that talked about this the other day, six public schools in Baltimore do not have a single student who is proficient in either English language arts or math. That is incredibly embarrassing. One of the incidences that's happened around the country, people were outraged. It went viral online if you guys saw this. A second grade student homework went viral online after a correct math answer was marked wrong and fully deducted from the test because it was not done the right way. Now, this is a second grade arithmetic. The problem was they asked the child to solve 530 minus 270, which, I mean, that's a pretty basic arithmetic question, and it's pretty easy to arrive at that. The student arrived at the right answer by subtracting the correct way that most all of us are taught to do, 530 minus 270. Although the student got the right answer, the teacher subtracted the question off and basically gave him a full wrong deduction off the test. Put on there that she wanted him to solve it by adding 30 to both numbers, so the problem would then be 560 minus 300. Makes no sense to me at all why you would even do that, why you would add 30 to two different numbers and then subtract them from there. You're adding all these needless steps. So that's just a small example of how unbelievably stupid Common Core is and why so many kids are lacking in English and mathematics all around the country. But Naples, Florida, that academy is doing incredibly good, Dad. But I wanted to address that because most people haven't heard much about Common Core, but it is still very alive and well and trying to dumb down the United States children. In my opinion, it was a very deliberate attack on our educational system because they're trying to make Americans stupid. As blunt as I can be, they're trying to make this younger generation, they know they're already hooked on iPhones, they know they're already hooked on all these electronics, they know they already have very lacking social skills because they're so wrapped up in their phones. Now they want to completely ruin their English language and mathematics to stupefy them, essentially, as best as possible. That's my opinion, Dad, with the Common Core. There's no other legitimate purpose for how asinine some of these problems are they're having these kids solve.
Well, math is a conceptual thing. You know, you don't get concepts in math until you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old for most kids as far as advanced concepts. You know, if you're adding numbers to numbers and making them to subtract them, you can do that if you're like rounding stuff out. Like if you say to me, you know, what's 970 minus 470? Well, if you add 30 to both of those, that'll make it a lot easier to solve as far as the actual number. The problem that happens is when you have a child that's trying to just figure out what 2 minus 1 is, it doesn't make any sense to that child. And so you confuse that child at a very young age, and their math skills start to be really awful. And that's what's happening with Common Core, because the young kids simply don't have those conceptual parameters established in their brain yet. They're still making connections. And when you try to make this stuff real complicated like that, it makes it very difficult for these kids to understand. By the way, preppers in California get a rare self-defense victory. A federal judge in California has blocked a state ban on high-capacity magazines. This is crazy. I mean, miracles do happen, I guess. Last week, a federal judge issued an injunction against a voters-approved measure that would require anyone who owned a rifle magazine with greater than a 10-round capacity to surrender them to the authorities. As reported by the Sacramento Bee, U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez in San Diego issued the injunction after finding that the law most likely was unconstitutional because it would disallow the use of firearms that employed whatever common magazine size he or she judges best suits the situation. So, guys, this is really big news for California, but of course you noticed that no one on the mainstream news reported on any of this, so I'm really glad this has happened. By the way, guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. I want you to know that we appreciate you. I love you guys. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins for us, and you get your B vitamins and your vitamin C and your D3 and all the things that you guys do on an ongoing basis. It means so much to us that you like the show so much. And in fact, I'm getting more and more of my friends who are listening to the show. I want to say hi to Chris and Gene and Dave and Betty and Kevin. And I mean, I could read you 55 names right now, people that I just know personally that listen to the show on an ongoing basis. Thank you so much for listening to the show and supporting us. Many of you I've known for 20, 30, 40 years. Many of you are new to the show. Guys, God bless you all. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for taking care of us and helping and taking care of the Health Masters and supporting what we do. Thank you for buying the finest quality supplements in the world from us. We appreciate you. And that allows us to do the show the way we want to do the show and not subject you to a 1-hour infomercial. I'm not going to do that, guys. So thank you again. I want you to know I appreciate you. Austin, what do you think about the preppers in California and this judge blocking this high-capacity magazine thing?
I really hope it stands. I hope they don't come in and try and issue it in the Ninth Court or wherever else they're going to try and send it to with the liberal judges to try and overturn it. That was one of the biggest unconstitutional things that California has ever done. Any state has done. I think Connecticut's done it. A few other places have done it, restricting law-abiding citizens from having standard capacity magazines. In my opinion, AR-15s were built originally to take 20 or 30 round magazines. Those are standard capacity. There's nothing high capacity about them. So there should not even be any type of law whatsoever restricting those from civilian usage, in my opinion.
Well, what's interesting, the Sacramento Bee noted that in the days leading up to the ban, some California gun owners, pro-sheriffs and sellers, have been reluctant to give up their magazines, and some gun owners have previously said that they were hoping that pending court challenges would block the ban. And this is what a sheriff said: "We're not going to be knocking on anybody's door looking for them," said Shasta County Sheriff Tom Bosinko in an earlier interview with the paper. "We're essentially making law-abiding citizens into criminals with this new law. I couldn't have said it any better." God bless you guys. Austin, go ahead and finish the show, and I'll go and do the write-up, buddy. See you guys tomorrow.
Sounds good, bud. Yes, guys, thank you so much for the support. Thank you for all the phone calls today. We've been getting all types of calls in and lots of emails. We appreciate everything. Also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week, the Superfood Complete. It's on a mega sale. We're doing a huge 30% off discount on it. It's going to be a really, really big seller. It always is. Popular product. Big sale for you guys. Also, too, be sure to check out the other products that you can vote for next week of product of the week. I think there's Awesome Mag, Cinnamon Extract. That's a big one. The Purple Sticks are on there. A lot of good products that people always love. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. Ted will be on the Hagman and Hagman Report tomorrow night, I think from 7 to 9. So that's going to be a great time as always. Be sure to check that out, as that show is always super great with the Hagmans. Lots of fun. So guys, if you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.